Cybersecurity is on the docket ahead of the Beijing Winter Olympics. The British Olympics Association is offering new smartphones to its athletes to block personal data from landing in the communist regime's hands. For Chinese residents, lockdown orders are still in full force in Xi'an City, with meat and other food supplies becoming more scarce as people are forced to stay home. One local asks his neighbors for an unusual favor. Amid Xi'an's wide-reaching shutdown, state workers vow to deliver food door-to-door. But for those who do receive groceries, there may be a catch. Citizens must thank the Communist Party, sometimes on film, before the food is handed over. And outside China, Lithuania defends itself while under fire from Beijing. It's calling on other European nations to stand up to Chinese aggression. Welcome to China in Focus. I'm Tiffany Meyer. Before we turn to today's daily news, we have a short announcement. We have our premiere at 9:30 p.m. from Monday to Saturday, not only on YouTube, but also on TV. NTD is available on many platforms, including cable TV, satellite, and over-the-air TV, and it continues to grow. Please check out ntd.com/TV. Type in your zip code to find all the ways you can watch our show. That's ntd.com/TV. And now we turn to today's daily news. Several European countries are taking steps to protect their athletes during the upcoming Beijing Winter Olympics. And that protection seems to be focused on cybersecurity. British athletes and staff will now be offered temporary phones from the British Olympic Association. The decision comes amid fears that Chinese authorities could install spy software on the foreign devices and gain access to athletes' private data or track their activities. But unlike other nations, athletes and staff from Britain will not be banned from taking their own smartphones and other devices to Beijing if they choose to do so. Similarly, the Dutch Olympic Committee warned its athletes to keep their phones and laptops out of China. That's according to local media. And in the U.S., Senator Marco Rubio sent a letter to President Biden asking what his administration is doing to make sure all U.S. athletes are sufficiently protected from Beijing surveillance and manipulation. In the letter, he also raised concerns over the digital yuan, a newly released digital currency issued by the Chinese Communist regime's central bank. The currency and the virtual wallet app it uses will be available to all foreigners visiting Beijing for the Games. The trouble is, the Communist Party has the ability to track every transition made with digital yuan, prompting fears from democratic nations. Experts also suspect the new currency is part of Beijing's greater ambition to challenge the global dominance of the U.S. dollar. If that effort is successful, Beijing could gain major leverage on the international stage and use it to promote its authoritarian ideology. The Beijing Winter Olympics will be held in a what they call closed loop. It's also called a bubble, a sealed and guarded bubble. Once inside, people from other countries cannot leave until they depart the country. The rule applies to all athletes and staff. The loop covers Olympic venues and designated accommodation. And moving between them, participants can only use designated transport. Overseas participants enter the loop the minute they land at the airport in Beijing. Early arrivals say police escorted their buses to their hotels. Everyone in the loop must take a virus test daily. Otherwise, they're forbidden to leave their accommodation because they must show a green code to leave. The green code means they've got a negative virus test within the last 24 hours. Food delivery from restaurants outside the loop is not allowed. And in the loop, some of the food is prepared and served by robot chefs. Beijing officials have also warned locals to stay away from designated Olympic transport vehicles in the event of a traffic incident. There are no international spectators allowed at the Beijing Games due to the pandemic. Human rights groups and advocates are calling on Beijing to release a missing human rights lawyer. His wife has just died of cancer in the U.S. NTD's Juliet Song has the story.
A missing Chinese rights lawyer's wife has died of cancer in Maryland, leaving two children behind, both of them in their early 20s.
The two children have been crying since the morning their mother died. I really don't know how they can take such pain.
Chen is a Chinese dissident and a friend of the family. He, along with rights groups, are urging Beijing to release the father, Guo Feixiong, so that he can come to the U.S. to take care of the family. But no one knows where the father is. He's a famous human rights lawyer in China. Reports say he disappeared a month ago. That's after he texted a friend, saying he's been abducted by the authorities again. Guo had tried to fly to the U.S. last January to see his ailing wife, but Chinese customs authorities didn't allow him to go, saying he could endanger national security. Guo had been actively promoting democratic movements in China. He also represented citizens who suffered repression from the Chinese regime. He spent over a decade in jail for his activist work. Guo hasn't seen his family for 15 years. His wife escaped to Thailand with their two children in 2009. They later came to the U.S. and obtained asylum. The wife, Zhang Qing, discovered last year she had late-stage cancer.
Her cancer was getting worse, and the tumor on her intestines was growing larger.
Guo's wife penned an open letter to her husband 2 months ago. In it, she wrote, "Even though I've made it through so many hardships all these years, I just can't bear such pain and suffering anymore. Despite having no hope of survival, I still want to see you one last time." Yang Zili, a Maryland resident who's also a friend of the family, says not allowing Guo to say a final goodbye is a form of repression by Beijing.
The Chinese regime has all kinds of ways of repressing dissidents who are unhappy with its rule. Not allowing them to leave China is one of them.
And Guo isn't the only one. Another Chinese human rights lawyer, Tang Jitian's daughter, is critically ill in Japan. Tang tried to fly there last year to see his daughter, but was told he's forbidden to leave China. Authorities told Tang allowing him to leave might endanger China's national security. And now Tang is among the missing as well. He's disappeared for almost a month, and friends and family suspect Chinese authorities have abducted him. Juliet Song, NTD News.
One meal a day, daring not to shower for fear they may run out of water and nowhere to get food. The worst is nobody knows when all this will end. That's the daily reality of life in Xi'an under the city's extended lockdowns.
Xi'an has been under lockdown for almost 20 days. An air of desperation penetrates the city.
I first tried to comfort myself, then I lost heart. Now I feel desperate and felt kind of crazy this morning. I felt horrible. I don't understand. I'm not infectious. Why do they lock me up? Simply doing this will cause mass panic.
A Xi'an resident told the Epoch Times that pandemic control officials were suddenly ordered to lock down nearly 200 communities last weekend, including hers. They immediately placed seals on the entrance to every household. However, just 3 days before the move, Xi'an officials had declared that the city may gradually lift its ban. The interviewee, Ms. Tsai, is from Yantan District of Xi'an. She thought new cases had been found when people came to seal her door. But no, there are apparently no new infections. And homeowners have no idea who sealed their homes, why, and for how long. Ms. Tsai asked the pandemic control workers again and again, but got no answers.
We saw it's no use in asking them. Then we closed the door, and they sealed it. That was around 10:35 last night. Then this morning, when they performed door-to-door virus tests, they broke the seal open at around 10:30. When they were done, they sealed the door again.
She said the sudden lockdown didn't come with any arrangements to get supplies, and whenever the homeowners asked, the officials would always say, "Wait for further notice." But so far, further notice has not come. Ms. Tsai says they can only afford one meal per day. Even so, the food they have left won't last more than a week. She said when the city was first locked down in mid-December, they could still buy groceries. But now, that's impossible. And the supply delivery the authorities promised came only once, on the last day of last year. The strict control also makes it impossible to order online.
I ordered food online once, but both sides of community entrance are sealed with iron sheets, and the delivery man couldn't make their way in. I had to cancel my order, and there are no more deliveries.
She regrets having listened to the authorities' propaganda and not stocking up on food.
But back then, I forget whether it's from the province or Beijing, they issued a notice saying it's not necessary to stock up on food.
She listened to the notice and expected the lockdown not to last long. Finally, she sighed, saying, it's farsighted to stockpile food.
Is it a luxury to taste meat in Chinese cities? Now it is. Beijing's zero-COVID policy triggered some of the strictest lockdowns amid the recent outbreaks. Many people sealed inside their homes don't have a food supply and must live on whatever food they happen to have. We heard reports on how these people are struggling for basic daily necessities. Recently, a note caught people's attention online. Many agree it seems to be written by someone who's been locked at home for a while. The note is asking neighbors for help, a favor like never before. It reads, "Hello, neighbors. Anyone's doing meat tomorrow, could you please do me a favor? Could you help to stew my few potatoes? You can just pick out the potatoes and give them back to me. Thank you." The note is said to have appeared after the lockdown in the central Chinese megacity Xi'an. The city has the second strictest lockdown measures in China, after Wuhan. And this is just one of the many stories forged by the communist regime's pandemic control policies. As concerns grow among Xi'an residents, one of them reached out for help online, writing about her plight on social media. Her posts outlined her family's quickly shrinking food supply. On Sunday, she shared two posts on Weibo, a Twitter-like social media platform popular in China. In it, she explained how the entrance to her family's home had been sealed shut by authorities, part of the country's strict pandemic prevention efforts. She also described her growing fear that her family could soon starve. The post detailed how the family had only a small piece of beef left to eat and would have to be shared by the poster, her elderly mother, and her young child. She wrote, "I had one bite. My mother had two bites, and we saved the rest for the kid. I felt so sad. My mother and I cried." The post also questions why her family only received a few potatoes and heads of cabbage from authorities, while propaganda sources describe plentiful supplies in Xi'an. The user went on to ask, why don't people even have food during this so-called golden age? The post also pointed out that the user's family is one of many suffering. Some of them have also posted calls for help on Weibo. But just one day later, the posts disappeared. The original poster later published an apology, claiming that her community is actually in order, community management was responsible, and that neighbors were helping each other. The sudden shift in tone has prompted suspicions online, with some believing the post hints that community leaders and policemen paid her a visit after she posted for help. A new video surfaced online from China's Xi'an City, and it's causing a stir. At the entrance of an apartment unit, one government worker hands a bag full of food to a resident, but he didn't immediately let go. Instead, the government worker repeatedly hints the residents should say something. Only after saying the phrase thanking the government did the worker release the bag. Under the Chinese Communist Party's zero-COVID policy, Xi'an City's 13 million residents have been subjected to some of the strictest lockdown measures since the pandemic first broke out in Wuhan back in 2020. For over 2 weeks, locals have been banned from leaving their homes whatsoever, even from buying groceries. To compensate, officials have promised regular door-to-door food deliveries. But complaints online describe them as infrequent and poorly supplied. Residents have posted videos on social media showing current hardships under the stay-at-home orders. But authorities are trying to shift that largely negative morale. On one hand, they delete posts complaining about the lack of food. On the other, they are pushing the idea that residents are thankful for the state-backed food deliveries. But the video, among others, have sparked public outrage, with many social media users voicing criticism. One user in particular condemned the apparent propaganda effort, writing, "Will you still thank the government as you die of starvation?" The Chinese Communist Party's media mouthpiece is smearing America, but the Chinese people aren't buying into it. On Sunday, Xinhua News officially posted on Weibo, a Twitter-like social media platform, saying COVID or the CCP virus cases had cumulatively surged to over 60 million in the U.S. It also claims that internet users are lamenting that the pandemic control in the U.S. is such a failure. Comments from internet users rushed in. One user asked, in the U.S., would a pregnant woman's unborn baby die in her mother's womb while waiting right outside a hospital? Soon, Weibo closed comments on the post. But a Chinese online media outlet shared screenshots of some of the comments. One says in a mocking tone, even though the U.S. is in deep trouble, U.S. visa applicants in Guangzhou City have lined up along the streets. Seems they all have adventurous spirits. And another criticized Xinhua's previous fake news on the U.S. Previously, you have been reporting how in America, the medical care systems collapsed, hospitals filled with patients, and there are so many dead bodies to handle that they even asked prisoners to do the job, but there is still not enough space to bury people. And so on. Why is there no more now? A comment addresses Xinhua's narrative, saying even 60 million positive cases didn't stop life from continuing. The stock market is still up, the working population is rising, but look at China. Another user questions the regime, saying people in the travel industry have been out of work for 2 years. Has the Chinese government ever given one dime to support their families? Lithuania's foreign minister is calling on the European Union to stand up to communist China. On Thursday and Friday, foreign ministers from European Union countries will meet in France. In light of this meeting, Lithuania's foreign minister told the Financial Times that he would tell his counterparts in their EU countries about Beijing's harassment of Lithuania. He referred to Beijing's warning to European companies not to use Lithuanian-made components. He said it's a test for the rules-based international trade order. Europe has to stand up. Lithuania did nothing wrong. Lithuania became a target of Beijing after it allowed Taiwan to open a representative office in its country. The move itself was fairly standard, as Taiwan has already set up representative offices in some other European countries as de facto embassies, but without being named as such. Lithuania, however, took it a step further, allowing this representative office to use the name Taiwan. Meanwhile, other countries all use the name of Taiwan's capital city, Taipei. They do so to align with Beijing's policy of not suggesting any sovereignty for the self-ruled island. Beijing responded by downgrading its diplomatic relations with Lithuania and blocking goods from Lithuania. Tensions peaked last month when Lithuanian diplomats suddenly left Beijing, citing security concerns. At the same time, Taiwan is offering support, buying Lithuanian-made goods that China banned and setting up billion-dollar cooperation programs with the Baltic country. The Biden administration on Wednesday imposed its first sanctions over North Korea's weapons programs, following a series of North Korean missile launches, including two since last week. Flora Bradley Watson reports.
The White House slapped down the first Biden-era sanctions over North Korea's weapons program on Wednesday. That move came as North Korean state media released more images of the country's recent missile launches. KRT showed photos of Kim Jong-un watching this week's missile test, the first one he's officially attended in nearly 2 years. The new U.S. sanctions target six North Koreans, one Russian, and a Russian firm, accusing them of procuring goods from Russia and China for Pyongyang's weapons program. The U.S. is putting pressure on the U.N. Security Council to take similar action. Washington wants five of those individuals to also be subject to a UN travel ban and asset freezes. Any measure would, however, need consensus agreement by the body's 15-member North Korea Sanctions Committee. Since Biden took office in January last year, he has sought unsuccessfully to engage Pyongyang in dialogue to persuade it to give up its nuclear bombs and missiles. A spokesman for the State Department said the U.S. remained committed to pursuing diplomacy with North Korea. Pyongyang has been accused of carrying out six ballistic missile launches since September, each of which violated UN Security Council resolutions.
Imagine a military with the capability of launching a strike with just a person's thought. It sounds like science fiction, but it's becoming a reality. That's because Beijing is spending billions of dollars every year on neuroscience that could lead to weaponization of the human brain. NTD's Kevin Hogan spoke with Brandon Weikert. He is an author and geopolitical analyst. He describes the technology and outlines some of the risks when it's used by an oppressive regime.
Brain control interfaces are a new technology that basically allows for the integration of man and machine in a seamless, effective way, much better than the way we do it with sort of the tactile, you know, iPhone hitting a button or, you know, controlling a drone from far away with the way we do it now. In this case, the brain will actually have a direct linkage into the machine. And obviously that has some great benefits for people who are ill with who are paraplegic, that could help them, you know, be able to walk possibly at some point using this technology. But obviously there's a military application as well. And that military application is what China's really focused on. Already in India, we see China deploying 80 new robots that are designed to augment the Chinese forces currently challenging India for control of the Tibetan Plateau. This is a proof of concept, and ultimately what the goal is to be able to develop those brain control interfaces to such a degree that China can then start having soldiers with brain control devices controlling swarms of drones, swarms of land warriors. And it sounds science fiction, but this is where we are.
The Chinese regime is totalitarian, genocidal, according to the U.S. State Department.
Absolutely.
And territorially aggressive, which you alluded to. Just ask some of its neighbors, like India or Taiwan. What are the risks of the CCP developing brain control weaponry?
Well, basically, on the military side, as I said, you have that sort of seamless integration of man and machine, which augments their warfighting capability, makes them quicker, makes them stronger. You can imagine sort of like eventually an Iron Man type suit where the Chinese soldier is integrated into that suit. So just imagine the capabilities that might give. And this is something the Chinese are talking about doing. Obviously, it's in the infancy right now. But on the civilian side, we've already seen China, and I hate to use the Nazi term, but in this case it applies. China, like the Nazis of old, is experimenting on political prisoners. They're doing biological experimentation. They're taking DNA of the Uyghurs in concentration camps to create specific genetic weapons. Inevitably, we could see or foresee this brain control interface being applied to people who are political prisoners, having it inserted into the base of their skull, allowing for 24/7 instantaneous monitoring and possibly control of a political prisoner by the CCP minders. This is a very revolutionary technology. If in the wrong hands, it could destroy the one thing that separates humanity from the animals, and that's our free will.
And that's all for today's China in Focus. But before you go, we have a short announcement. As you may already know, YouTube has demonetized us for about a year. So that means our ability to run ads or earn money on YouTube has been taken away. If you like our coverage, you can donate to show your support. Here's how. In the description box down below is a link that will take you through all the steps needed. Thank you for your continued support, and we look forward to providing you with more insights into China in the year ahead. Thanks for watching, and see you tomorrow.